Welcome to Torah Simecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek Samach Vav, Chapter 66. Here, in the last chapter of the book, the prophet concludes his description of the final redemption. The first few verses return to an earlier theme, and that is that insincere sacrifices are worse than useless. Hashem does not need our sacrifices. They do not benefit him in any way. They are only for our sake. So if we do them perfunctorily, there is no purpose at all. Why does this belong in the midst of many chapters about the final redemption? According to Malbim, the prophet interrupts the description of what the land of Israel will be like after Mashiach comes in order to remind us of how we got ourselves into exile in the first place. So, according to Malbim, the description of insincere sacrifices is about the former temple periods. According to Abravanel, this is not about what happened in the past. As the prophet describes our return to the land and the building of the temple at long last, he reminds us what its true purpose is. Lest we think that Hashem is rebuilding the temple for his own benefit, the prophet reminds us that sacrifices that we will have the privilege to bring are just that, a privilege, and only for our benefit. Ko amar Hashem, Hashamayim kisi v'haaretz hadom raglai. Thus says Hashem, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Eze vayis asher tivnu li, ve'eze makom menuchasi. Where could you build a house for me? What place could serve as my abode? Obviously, God is not contained within anything physical. Heaven symbolizes spirituality and earth physicality. Heaven is God's throne in that it is superior to and elevated from earth, which is only his footstool. From there, from heaven, he issues his decrees as a king does from his throne. So the logic of the verse is as follows. If God's presence fills up more than all the heavens and earth, and even that is an inadequate allegory, how could you think that a simple building would contain me? The temple is not here because I need a place to dwell. It is for the people to come to focus only on me, a special place for them to pray and to sacrifice. Ve'eskol ele yadi asasa. All this was made by my hand, vayihi chol eile ne'um Hashem, and thus it all came into being, says Hashem. Ve'ezabit el ani unechei ruach v'chared al dvarai. But it is to these that I look, to the poor and broken in spirit, and those who are zealous regarding my word. The whole world belongs to Hashem. He does not need anything that we can give him. All that catches his attention, so to speak, is those who are humble and truly want to serve him. Those who bring sacrifices without these qualities of humility and dedication to God's true service in all areas of their lives, no matter how expensive and technically kosher the offering is, are equated to murderers and those who bring impure animals onto the altar, and even to those who serve false gods. Gam hema bacharu bedarcheichem uvishikutzeyam nafsham chafetza. They have chosen their ways and desire their abominations. They are bringing sacrifices, but their desires and actions do not change. They are still wicked, and the offerings are only outward. Gam ani efchar b'sa'al lehem. So I too will choose to mock them, just as they mock me with their false service. Umigurosam avilahem, and I will bring dread upon them. Ya'an karasi ve'enone, diparti ve'lo shameyo. Because I called and no one responded. I spoke, but they did not hear. Again, a running theme that continues from the last chapters, that the true insult is that they ignored pleas from Hashem to return to him. They did what was evil in my eyes and chose what I did not desire. So Hashem turns to those that have dedicated themselves to him, as described before in verse 2, and he encourages them. Your brethren shun you because they think that I am glorified through fancy offerings that they bring. But you, the humble, will see gladness in the future while they will be embarrassed. And the loud sounds of their arrogance will blend into the sounds of the retribution taken against them. And now the final positive aspects of redemption begin, compared by the Navi to labor. But unlike ordinary labor, which hopefully has a thrilling result, but only after a long and painful prelude, the redemption, once it begins, will include only the final exaltation, without the painful process. B'terem tachil yalada. Before she labored, she delivered. The ingathering of the exiles described here will happen effortlessly, with incredible quickness. B'terem yavo cheva la v'himlita zachar. Before her pangs came, she bore a son. According to most Mefarshim, this son is the metaphorical result of labor, the redemption itself. According to Unkelis, the son is actually physical, referring to the Mashiach. Misha makazos, umira akaile. Who heard of something like this? Who has seen things such as these? Hayuchal eretz biyom echad, imivaleid goy pan mechas, ki chala gam yaldat zion espaneha. Can a land begin in one day? Can a nation be born at one time? As Zion went through her labor and delivered her children? This verse can be understood according to the same two interpretations as the last. Most commentaries explain that the events leading up to the redemption will come quickly and painlessly for the Jewish people. According to Unkelis, the birth pains and labor described here are a parable for all of human history. It was all a prelude to the redemption, which will ultimately come with exhilaratingly successful results. Ha'ani ashpir v'lo olid, yomar Hashem. Would I bring a woman to the birth stool and not have her give birth? Im ani hamolid va'atzarti, amar lo kayach. Shall I, who causes birth, hold back, says your God? Hashem tells us, I would not make the Jewish people sustain all the pains of exile without this ultimate result. Some commentaries explain this verse more specifically and practically, that when we begin to see the difficult prelude to the Messiah, what looks like birth pains, let us not despair. Once we are at the birth stool, surely Hashem will bring it to fruition. And of course, that is what will happen. Simchu es Yerushalayim v'gilu bach kol ohaveha. Be glad with Jerusalem and rejoice in her, all who love her. Sisu ita masos kol hamisablim aleha. Be jubilant with her, in her jubilation, all those who mourn her. On this verse, the sages explain in Tanis 30b, Mikan amru, kol hamisabel al Yerushalayim zoche v'roa b'simchasa. V'she'eno misabel al Yerushalayim eino roa'e b'simchasa. Whoever mourns for Jerusalem merits and sees her joy, and whoever does not mourn for Jerusalem does not see her joy. Only those that loved her and yearned to see her rebuilt will have the joy of her ultimate happiness. Just as you saw her state of destruction and mourned for her and with her, so too you will see her rebuilt and rejoice with her in her happy times. This will not just be the initial joy at the return of the city's glory, but that joy will evolve into a deep connection and fulfillment between the city and its people. The prophet carries through the birth mashal into that of a nursing baby. Just as a mother's milk nurtures an infant and satisfies it completely, Jerusalem's resources of spirituality and physicality will nourish the nation. The connection was forged through a yearning for the city and mourning over its destruction, but it will result in ultimate spiritual benefits when the city returns to its greatness. Ki'ish asher imo tenachamenu, kein anochi anachemchem. As a mother comforts her son, so I will comfort you. A mother is the ultimate source of comfort, because only she truly and deeply feels her child's pain. So too Hashem will be the one who comforts us, because he was with us and felt our pain throughout exile. Uv'Yerushalayim tunachamu. You will find comfort in Jerusalem. That is the place where and from we suffered so badly. So the comfort will be in seeing Jerusalem return to its rightful majesty. Also, as described earlier, there will be so much abundant good that we receive from the city that will be our comfort as well. That is for those who merit to take part in Jerusalem's restoration. But as we know from previous chapters, there will be those who will not participate. Those who humbly walked with Hashem will rejoice and be nourished, but the enemies of Hashem will be punished. Both of those results bring glory to God's name. Yeshayahu describes the retribution against the wicked with imagery of fire. It will be quick and widespread, lahashiv b'chema apo, to return his anger with wrath. The word return is used here to remind us that God's punishment is exact. He will return exactly what they deserve. There will be much destruction and many slain. Those who glorified and dedicated themselves to idol worship and defied God's commandments, they will be consumed altogether. And Hashem will orchestrate that the nations of the world, including those of Gog and Magog, who are described in detail in Zechariah and Yechezkel, they will come and fight against the Jewish people in order that they will be defeated and know the Jewish people's new power. But Hashem will ensure that there are survivors, even of those evil nations, so that they can return to their homelands and recount the war and suffering of their countrymen. And why will he ensure that they do this? Because the ultimate purpose of all of this is, V'higidu es kvodi bagoyim, they will declare my glory amongst the nations. All the nations of the world, not just the Jewish people, must recognize God's existence and control. And when that message reaches the far corners of the earth, that the great nations have been defeated by God's people, and God's power and oneness become clear to all, those nations will return Jews that have not returned themselves. They will bring them with honor to Jerusalem like an offering. V'gam mehem ekach la'kohanim le'levim, amar Hashem. And even from them I will take some to be kohanim and levim. Even from those Jews who did not return themselves, Hashem will take kohanim and levim to serve him. Even those who did not know that they had the special status, Hashem will tell them. This section is intentionally juxtaposed to the last section that spoke of external and insincere service of God. Those who pretended to serve God in the most ornate fashion, but did not serve him sincerely and in their hearts, will be punished at the time of redemption. Contrasted to this are those who honestly were not familiar with the worship of God. They will be accepted fully and even given their former elevated status. Ki cha asher hashamayim hachadashim v'haaretz hachadasha, asher ani oseh omdim lefanaynu Hashem. For just as the new heavens and new earth that I will make will endure, says Hashem, Kenya amod zarachem v'shimchem, so will your offspring and your name endure. Do not worry that there will be another exile. You will remain in your land sovereign forever. V'haya midei chodesh b'chodesho u'midei shabbas b'shabbato, yavo chol basar l'hishtachavos l'fanai, amar Hashem. And on every Rosh Chodesh and on every Shabbos, all of mankind will come and bow to me, says Hashem. There will be a never-ending stream of people and nations who recognize God and come to declare their servitude to him. Each Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh will be full of pilgrims for this purpose. But those who merit to see this will not only see the glory and reward of those who were loyal to Hashem and had been returned to their city, they will also see something else. This last verse of Sefer Yeshayahu has a similar caveat to that which we have seen all along. While Yeshayahu's focus is on the redemption and its positive aspects, an essential part of the redemption is the justice visited upon evil and its perpetrators. Therefore, this section, concluding the Sefer with a description of our eternal redemption and true service of God, ends with the following verse. V'yatzu v'ra'u b'figrei ha'anashim ha'pushim bi. When those who will dwell in the city forever exit the city, they will see corpses of the men who sinned against me. The unceasing and unnatural decay of these corpses will make them an example of those who rebelled against Hashem. V'hayu de'ra'on l'chol basar, and they will lie in disgrace before all mankind. Hashem will keep these people there to remind all of those that deserved eternal reward that those who rebelled against him were punished. It is customary that we always finish a book on a positive note. So let us read the second to last verse again. V'haya midei chodesh b'chodesho u'midei shabbas b'shabbato, yavo chol basar l'hishtachavos l'fanai, amar Hashem. And on every Rosh Chodesh and on every Shabbos, all of mankind will come and bow to me, says Hashem. There will come a time when there will be an unending stream of people who come to show their recognition of Hashem and his exclusive dominion, as is the purpose of all creation. May we all merit to see that reality speedily and in our days. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.